Good evening. This is always a special weekend, but even more so this year, as we have the special honor of hosting Lema Boye as EMU Alum of the Year and co-winner of the Nobel Peace Prize as of last Friday morning. This evening we will watch this documentary film, Pray the Devil Back to Hell, and following that, Lema will be sharing some reflections from the documentary. This evening's film viewing is being co-sponsored by Harrisonburg's local PBS television station, WVPT, and EMU's Center for Justice and Peacebuilding. I'd like to welcome now David Mullins, President and General Manager of WVPT, who will introduce the Women, War, and Peace series, of which tonight's showing is a part. Please welcome David Mullins.
Thank you, Lauren, and welcome to everyone. On behalf of WVPT Public Television, first let me thank and recognize the great work of Eastern Mennonite University, and in particular the staff of the Center for Justice and Peacebuilding. If there was ever a collaborative effort that was meant to be, this is it with public television and the Center for Justice and Peacebuilding. This film you're about to preview tonight was really the genesis of what became a five-part series, which you've been told about and you see on your programs, Women, War, and Peace. It inspired this documentary that it's really, you will see, it's the highlights of the remarkable story of courageous women who came together in Liberia to end the bloody civil war there. And this film was produced by Abigail Disney, yes, of the Disney family. Abigail and her team were so inspired by what happened in Liberia that they subsequently produced other programs within this series, featuring and spotlighting stories on Bosnia, Afghanistan, and Colombia. It's really been an honor for WVPT to work with and continue to work with the Center for Justice and Peacebuilding and spotlight this film and also the entire series, Women, War, and Peace. Now, at the end of this five-episode series on November the 8th, at the end of the final episode, we are working and co-producing a local program called War Redefined, A Virginia Perspective. And we do hope that you will tune in for that. It will be on November the 8th at 11 p.m. following the final episode of the five-part series, Women, War, and Peace. This is really a highlight of the fall season for public television. I was mentioning to Lauren, I was at a meeting in Washington, D.C. at PBS just this past week, and the president of PBS and the president of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, when told that Lema was speaking at tonight's event, and just the timing of everything, they were so ecstatic to know that this event would mean so much to the Women, War, and Peace and the promotion of that series on public television. Now, the first of these five-part series actually aired this past Tuesday night, and Pray the Devil Back to Hell, which we're screening this evening, will be shown on WVPT and on public television stations across the country this coming Tuesday night, so please tune in for that. But tonight, of course, you get to see it first. Thank you all for coming and being here. I know that you'll walk away from this evening really better informed and certainly inspired. As I do want to remind you that, of course, Lema will be coming up on stage following the screening of this film. But right now, let's take a look at Pray the Devil Back to Hell.
Thank you very much, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, and please have your seats, thank you. This is a big crowd. And this is a very good crowd. I'd like to say thank you to the EMU family just for the support. Next to the Lutherans, I think you are the second best. And I meant that in a good way. It's a great honor for me to be here at a place I consider home, in a space that I spend many nights trying to wear off or work through my own trauma, in that corner, watching basketball. Sometimes when I was here, I think I was the only CGP student who found time for basketball. But it's really a great honor for me to be here, homecoming, being awarded the Alumni of the Year to the group of people who thought me worthy of such an honor. I say thank you very much. The film you just saw is the everyday story of women living in conflict contexts. The everyday struggles for peace, the everyday struggle to save the lives of their children, the everyday struggle for ending conflicts. In 2003, Liberia had come to a place where we had gone from bad to worse to ridiculous. The Economist reported that Liberians were famished and were living off of snails after they had eaten all of their neighbor dogs. I was at the University of California, Santa Barbara, and one of the young students who interned in Liberia in 2003 said one of the first things she noticed was no pets. And when she asked about dogs and cats, people said, oh, well, people ate those. But as she stayed, she seen this country move from the depths of its worst coming up to the best. And she said to me, Miss Lima, you and the women were responsible for that. But I don't see what we've done as anything extra. Not that I'm ungrateful, because my mother will surely give me a sound spanking, because she always say ingratitude is a sin. But when we did this work, like I said earlier, it was something we needed to do. We had gotten to a place, I lived in a community where they had a military base of fighters. And these boys knew exactly when we came from work and when we're sitting around in our community having our meals. They would come and pretend as if they're passing, put a pistol over your head and fire. And everyone would run indoors. By the time you come back, every food you were eating had disappeared. Rape was the order of the day. Sexual exploitation of our young people, it got so bad that even old women were no more safe from the whole issue of rape. And then we stepped out. When we protested, we didn't get donors funding. We didn't get funding from anywhere. Young children, school people, old women, people just came and contributed. But it wasn't about the money. Some days we would serve water when we got good donations. The days we didn't have water to serve, we fasted. Some days we took journeys to go to the other. And the day we didn't have money for transportation, we walked. And everything that we did was because we had seen that our society was upside down and we needed to turn it upright. It was a very tedious process. And you would say to me, well, those women who were protesting probably like yourself was never raped. But the beauty of the work that we did was that each and every one of those women had a story, but they made their story, their personal story, secondary.
and peace was primary. One of the times when we had gone to the disarmament camp to work with ex-child soldiers and ex-soldiers, one of the women came back crying that she was feeding this wounded soldier with her hands. So as she fixed the rice and fed him, he looked up well and said, "Please sit me up." She sat him up. And as he sat up, he turned to her. He said, "Ma, where is your daughter?" And she said, "My daughter is dead." And he called the girl's name. He said, "Yes, I know. I was just asking because I killed her." She said, "What did you think I did? Did I stop feeding him?" "No, I continue to feed him." And in her tears, she said to me, "Isn't that what peace building is? Isn't that what a mother is supposed to do? To keep feeding, even in your pains?" She said, "But I kept it in, knowing that I will come to you and I will cry at your feet." So then we decided those 20 women that had gone into the cantonment center, we will have a circle process with them where they could tell their story. We sat in that group, and there were these two internally displaced women who were inseparable. So we used to call them the twin, because they knew everything about the other, or so we thought. When we got into the circle process, one of them started crying. And she said, "I need to say something." And she turned to her friend and said, "Friend, I was raped. I've never brought myself to tell you this story because I was too ashamed." And she went on to give the details of how she got raped. And the friend started crying uncontrollably and turned to her and said, "I too was ashamed to tell you that I also was raped." The point I'm trying to make here is that at their worst, they gave their best. At their depths, they gave their best. One final story of those women I work with. One came to me and said, "I have a predicament. My son died during the war. My daughter went to the refugee camp. And she's just writing to me after 10 years. She's married. She has children. And her husband is a pastor. I wrote her and said, 'Send me pictures.' They're relocating back to Liberia, and she sent me a picture. Her husband is the killer of my son. What do I do?" These were the women you saw changing their communities, standing up for peace, being the voice and the conscience of a society that had degenerated into a state of total chaos and anarchy. Each and every one of those women has a tragic story. But each and every one of those women used the tragic stories of their lives to do good for their community. I will never leave this stage without posing that question to everyone in this room. Do you have a tragic story? Is that tragic story keeping you from doing good? Are you looking at your community being totally destroyed by evil men and women, and because you feel you have a tragic story, so you can't step out? It may not be at the depth to which the Liberian women descended. It may not be anything close, or it may even be greater than what you think. But looking at their struggles on TV and looking at everything that I'm telling you that they've gone through and continues to go through, how do you intend to use the tragedy of your story to make an impact on your community? The world that we live in now is a world that sometimes I wonder, where are the good people? And I will answer myself, we are the good people. We are the ones who have stepped back and allowed evil to take over. And if I'm getting my scripture right, the Bible says darkness will bow to light. This is a rallying call for each and every one of us, Americans, Africans. We need to step into the light so that evil can step back out. Are you not noticing in your community? Because I'm noticing in my community, and it makes me angry. The objectification of our young women as sex objects. The objectification of our young men as drug addicts. I'm angry. Because if we set such beautiful legacy, this is a university associated with peace, harmony, development, and I know how much peace I enjoy in this space. And if we sit in this space and allow evil to continue to control our country, our economy, everything, even our society and the social aspect of our society, what will we tell our children in the future? I was too afraid, or I didn't think it was my issue. If I may give you one final example, when we signed the peace agreement, we went back to Liberia and started something we call constructive interference. We were involved in everything. If the president sneezed and someone outside cash called, we protested. If the president stomped his toe and a rock lifted up that would threaten the peace, we protested. How are you constructively interfering in your community, in this community, in your country? How are you making a difference? As we celebrate the Nobel, celebrate Pray the Devil Back to Hell, celebrate homecoming, I just want you to leave here with one thing. I am confident, because I've seen it at work, that good can definitely overcome evil. Thank you.
Constructive interference. Push the darkness back by the light. Thank you all for coming tonight. This is just the beginning of a great weekend. There are other opportunities to interact. We welcome you to ceremonies tomorrow and on Sunday morning to our worship service. Thank you for joining us this evening. I have just two announcements. One is that tomorrow at 1:30 outside the University Bookstore on the second level here, there will be a book signing for those of you who wish to purchase a copy of her book, and she will sign that for 1 hour, and we'll handle as many people as we can. And then secondly, just to remind you that Sunday morning, Lema will be receiving her award as EMU Alumna of the Year at the worship service in Lehman Auditorium at 10 o'clock a.m. Thank you very much, and good night.